Everybody wins. Lesson 3. Who are you? How did you get there? As you listen to these lessons and explore the ideas presented, notice your own thoughts and opinions. Remember, this program is about you getting clear on how you're going to take charge of the creative process that is your life. In the first 2 lessons, we were looking at the context within which you are going to approach taking charge of your creative mind. We were setting up the idea that each of us is a unique expression of life, who has thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and feelings, but we are not any of that stuff. It's as if we are the jar that holds all of our marbles, and we are not the marbles. The marbles represent our life, all of our results, opinions, feelings, and behaviors. The marbles can be looked at as our consciousness and the results of our consciousness. If you plan to have greater control over your life and the circumstances that surround you, it is important that you gain at least a basic understanding of what you believe about yourself and where those beliefs came from. In many instances, it can be difficult to determine who we are as unique individuals because we have been programmed by those around us and our environment to be a certain way and believe certain things. And in many cases, we did not choose our current beliefs. We got them from our environmental conditioning. You were probably brought up by your parents and the adult community around you, attended school, associated with a group of people usually from the same school, and probably did, for the most part, what all the other kids you ran around with did, and what the adults you respected told you to do. You may have gone to college, been in the armed forces, belonged to or participated in any number of other groups, and thereby associated with your peers there. All of these associations gave you input as to who you were, what you should believe, what you should strive for, and what your chances were as far as reaching any degree of success. Whether you realized it or not, much of the input was being recorded in your mind as the way things are and the way you should be. And while all this was going on, one of your greatest concerns was to be liked, to be loved, and to be accepted by the people you associated with. If you have children, you may have observed this process of conditioning. Children tend to emulate or copy those around them. They want to dress the way their friends dress. They talk the way their friends talk. They want to play the same types of games their friends play. They want to have the same kinds of toys and gadgets their friends have. And this tendency to be like those we associate with does not stop just because we become older. It's normal for people, as they go through life, to adapt and take on characteristics from the environment they surround themselves with. Most of the groups we grew up with also tended to demand a certain degree of conformity and applied subtle pressure to keep all members in line. Think about it. If your friends wanted to play a certain game and you didn't want to play that game, they probably applied pressure to try to get you to think and do things their way. Your parents, your teachers, your church or Sunday school leaders, your brothers and sisters, your friends, the books you read, the shows you watched, the advertisements you saw, even the music you listened to, constantly reminded you whether or not you were okay, what you should and should not be doing, and what you were capable of doing. This subtle and sometimes not so subtle pressure to conform, to be what others think we should be, can become a driving force in our developmental years. Social scientists suggest that once we identify with a tribe or a group, we many times retrofit our beliefs and philosophy to align with the group's beliefs and attitudes. Therefore, membership in the tribe or organization shapes your values and defines your focus. Now, some of you might be saying, that may have been true then, but I'm different now. I am in charge of my beliefs and attitudes. Yes, your beliefs and attitudes are constantly changing and adapting to your environment. And there are countless studies indicating that people tend to seek out and find surroundings that they feel comfortable in. This means that without a conscious choice on the individual's part, once attitudes are developed, the individual will seek environments and situations where their attitudes and beliefs are accepted and thereby reinforce their current belief systems. If we change groups, the cycle just starts over and we are encouraged into new attitudes and new beliefs. It follows that unless we make a conscious effort to change, we will tend to stay in the same type of mental environment we have now. Our beliefs and attitudes about ourselves and our surroundings will stay pretty much the same. The happiness and satisfaction we experience will not vary significantly unless we get one of those big breaks we've always hoped for. So why don't we change? We have already determined that we want more out of life than what we have. So why haven't we changed? Why haven't we done what is necessary to have exactly the kind of life we want? Basically, it's because change can be scary. Change involves the unknown. Change involves moving from the familiar to the unfamiliar. Change involves risk, taking a chance. Think about it. If you were going to change jobs right now, what kind of feelings would you have? Even if you knew the new job had a higher salary, more chance for advancement, and better working conditions, wouldn't there be some uncertainty, some doubt, some fear and nervousness regarding the move? Now imagine changing your attitudes and habits of thought regarding yourself and the way you view the world around you. In the job example, you would have concrete facts to back up your move. An employment contract, a union agreement, or the word of your new employer. In the move to change yourself and your habits of thought regarding your environment, your potential, and what you call reality, you may not have any concrete facts supporting the changes you want to make. What you have is a history that states you are a certain way. You act and react a certain way, and the world around you is the way it is, period. Now imagine how you feel regarding a change in this area. With no facts to substantiate the new reality you want to create, combined with the doubt, uncertainty, and the nagging truth of your own experience that says you are the way you are, and that's all there is to that, in this scenario, change can be frightening. This is very close to what happens for many of us when we approach change within ourselves. All of us are conditioned by our environment to believe a certain way, and these beliefs too frequently lock us into a life of fear, doubt, sickness, and insecurity. This is what makes people unhappy and unsatisfied. They want to make their dreams come true. But inside, they really do not believe themselves capable or worthy of having it all. There are some of you who are saying, no, it's not that way at all. I can prove to you that what I believe about myself is true. I have tried to be a top salesperson and still never earned more than $40,000 a year. Or I've tried to lose weight and I'm still fat. Or I tried to be positive and my life still doesn't work the way I want. Or all the other examples that could prove beyond any doubt that you are who you believe you are, that the circumstances in your life are real and not just programmed responses or results that come from your environmental conditioning and consciousness. Don't take these examples too literally. Just explore these ideas and notice what comes up for you. Let me further explain this conditioning process with the be-do-have model used in the first lesson. The statements and inferences that you have been given throughout your life about who you are and your capabilities were most likely directed at the being level of your experience. Even when the specific item under discussion was something we did or had, the memories that you and I recorded were probably at the being level. For example, if you failed a math exam, the experience you recorded could be something like, "I'm not good in math," when in fact, all that happened was you failed one exam. If you asked someone to dance with you and they said no, the experience you may have recorded was that people do not want to dance with you, rather than that one person under the circumstances present didn't want to dance with you. If you did some specific wrong at home, your parents just as likely inferred that you were bad or wrong rather than you did that one thing wrong. The examples of you and I believing ourselves to be a certain way now because of something we did or had in our past are endless. When you and I were younger, if we made a mistake or an error in doing one specific task, there is a good chance that we made judgments concerning our general ability in that area. These self-judgments and those that others communicated to us combine to form our beliefs about ourselves. And these beliefs are many times directed at our being level. As pointed out in Lesson 1, the successful accomplishment of any task is determined at the being level prior to beginning that task. In other words, you must believe it's possible that you can do it before you do it. I know that many of the examples I am using seem to be negative and point only to the limiting influences that we have had and still may have in our lives today. And I know that there have been many positive and empowering influences as well. It's important that you recognize how your mental and physical environments influence your beliefs, attitudes, and opinions. At this point, I want to make clear my beliefs about you. You may be young or old, but there is one thing you all have in common. You are magnificent. I know that you are magnificent, because that's just the truth about you. You are a unique individual, and you are to be congratulated for purchasing this program and using it to better understand yourself and get more of what you want. Way to go, and keep on with this program, because it will assist you to become what you want to become. Through using it, you will understand that you can create your life so you experience it as a joyous adventure. It may take you a while to really experience your life this way. It did for me. I was so busy digging myself out of the hole I was in with the sickness and drama of the incurable infection in my spine, I didn't even know that my life could be a joyous adventure. I began using the tools of choice just to keep the negatives within tolerable limits. So keep going and know that the magnificent and powerful person that awaits you has always been there. It's just been hard to recognize, surrounded with your opinions about what's going on in your now. Mistakes and error. Basically, you and I were born with no knowledge about how to do things for ourselves. The internal functioning of our bodies, such as our breathing, heartbeat, digestion, and so forth, were taken care of by some miraculous force within us. But that's about all that worked. We did not know how to coordinate our bodies, our hands, our arms. In the beginning, we could not even turn our heads in the direction we wanted. So how did we learn all these things? Very simply, we learned through trial and error. Initially, there is no big blueprint in the child's head that says, this is what I want to do, and this is how it will work. The only things children know are, I can and I want to. And from these two concepts, they grow in their abilities by leaps and bounds. It only takes a matter of days or weeks at the most for children to learn how to manipulate their parents with just a cry. Within months, they can coordinate their bodies, and each movement takes virtually thousands of separate brain impulses. Children learn and grow at an astounding rate, and they do it all through trial and error. It isn't until the child is several years old that they learn that error is wrong or implies ignorance. And guess who teaches them that? Yes, it's the adult world around them and their peer group. The natural learning condition for all human beings is trial and error. Where would you be if you stopped trying to walk after the 10th time you failed? After the 20th time, and so on, you would still be on your knees. Mistakes and error are the most natural part of growth. If you try something for the first time and you do it perfectly, what do you learn? Probably nothing. Many times, great learning and growth comes out of our mistakes, because when we realize the mistake, we can adjust our actions. Part of the natural process of growth is to try, fail, adjust, and try again. The adjusting or correcting for error is where some of our learning or growth takes place. This doesn't mean that mistakes and error are good in and of themselves. Mistakes and error are useful insofar as they allow us to correct our actions and beliefs to better attain our desired results. And sometimes the environmental conditioning that you and I have gone through tends to make us avoid error so we won't appear wrong or ignorant. And avoiding error for these reasons stops growth and in many instances takes the joy out of the game. It's like the story I heard of a small girl watching her friends play baseball. Finally, she asked if she could play too. The first time she swung at the ball, she swung so hard she twirled all the way around and fell down. She started laughing and stood up to try again. The ball was pitched and she swung again and fell down. Still laughing, she stood up. What fun it was just to have an opportunity to play. Then one of the adults present came over and showed her how to hold the bat, how to stand, how to keep her eyes on the ball, and not swing so hard. There was an extensive list of have-tos and shoulds, of how to play the game so she wouldn't miss the ball. And every time she tried, there were more rules and a longer list of how to do it just right. Soon, when she tried to hit the ball, there was no joy in her eyes. Her smile and the delight she felt while just playing was gone, and all that was left was her list of the rules so she wouldn't do it wrong and look silly. The next time you are thinking about attempting something you are not sure about, stop for a moment and see if some of your concern is not just the fear of looking bad to those around you. Remember, error is a part of growth, and in some instances, without error, there can be no growth. It has been said that there is no such thing as a human being, that each of us is at all times in a constant process of change, so that we are only humans becoming. There is a great deal of truth to this statement. As we have discussed, you and I are different now than we were in the past. The world around us is different. Less than 150 years ago in the United States, women could not vote or own property. Abortion and birth control were talked about only in back alleys. Premarital sex and divorce were two of the surest ways to go to hell. There were no such things as movies, television, or the computer. It took weeks, even months, for people to find out about happenings outside of their immediate surroundings. Many learned scholars even believed that the human body would disintegrate at speeds of over 200 miles per hour. The biggest problems facing most people were Mother Nature and whether or not the crops would fail. How different it is today. You and I live in a world that moves so fast, it is virtually impossible to keep up with all the new facts and discoveries being made each day. We have come to expect and accept change and technological advancement in the things that we have and use. The area that we tend to resist changing is the area of our mind, the thoughts we have about ourselves and our capabilities. And yet it is these thoughts and beliefs that shape our circumstances and experiences. The happiness and satisfaction you seek are not to be found in your outside world alone. They start in the inner attitudes and beliefs you have about that world. You already experience a difference in your life through listening to the lessons, reading the daily power statements, and other exercises in this program. You probably notice more about the world around you now and how it affects you and your attitude. You've become more aware of how your environment conditions you to be a certain way, and this awareness will keep growing. So relax. Have fun in this exploration of you, and remember to come from that aspect of you that is not your belief. Pass of pain. At times it may seem difficult to move from where you are to where you want to be. I call this difficulty the pass of pain. It can be experienced as a pass of pain because the development of new habits of thought requires abandoning old ones. And there is the fear of the unknown, and the fear of failing, the fear of making mistakes, the fear of being wrong. Yes, change can be scary. For in the process of change, there is a time when the old ways are no longer in place, and yet the new may not be totally real for you yet. Sometimes we must have faith and be willing to let go of the old before we can grasp the new. Do not give up. Do not let these doubts and fears prevent you from becoming the wonder you were created to be. Do not let the old voices saying, "Don't try to be somebody you're not," stop you in your quest for a happier and more satisfying life. Do not let the environmental conditioning you have been exposed to keep you from being who and what you want to be. For each time you pass through these barriers of doubt and uncertainty, you will gain confidence in your overall abilities and the path will widen. It doesn't matter what areas of your life you begin to work on. For the conscious development of new attitudes and habits in any specific area brings confidence to your general ability to change and grow. Thousands of years ago, Socrates said, "Know thyself." In my work, I have found that the vast majority of people have no idea who they are. They have opinions and beliefs based on the environment they grew up in. But in most cases, these beliefs do not reflect who they really are and what they are truly capable of. Many years ago, I heard a story about a girl who was probably much like you and me. When she was young, she would lie out in the fields and look up at the sky, and she would be filled with the joy of living and the wonder of life. She was a dreamer. She dreamed of what she would become. She dreamed of what she would do. She dreamed of what she would have. As she grew older, she was schooled in the fine art of rules. She was taught to follow directions and not rock the boat. She was even told to stop being a silly dreamer. When she became an adult, she got a job much like everyone else. She went back and forth to work and wished her life could be different. There were times when the old dreams would come back into her mind, but they were always followed by a voice that told her to face reality. Soon, the dreams would go away, and she would spend her time doing what she always did while wishing her life could be different. Throughout this lesson, we have talked about the environmental conditioning that we go through as we grow up, and how in too many cases this programming keeps us from having the kind of life we dream about. It can be difficult to imagine and believe that we have the ability to create whatever we want when we come from our old beliefs and old habits of thoughts. As you continue listening to these lessons and exploring within yourself what these ideas and concepts mean to you, you will recognize beliefs and habits that no longer support you, and you can start any time you want to choose a new reality for yourself. Action steps. Keep reading and owning what the daily power statements say about you. This week, spend your 5 to 10 minutes writing in the thoughts and ideas section about your beliefs regarding your needs and aspirations. Do you believe you can create your life to be an adventure filled with joy? Do you believe you can take charge of your mind and thereby take charge of the things that happen to you? Don't just think about your beliefs. Write them out in the thoughts and ideas section of your journal and notice if some of your current beliefs set limits of you having what you want.